Are you happy? Raise your hand if you're happy. Good. That's good. If you're not happy, you will be. Hopefully after you hear what God has prepared for us today. Now, we have some young children here today, so I know that you can help me out here. If you were to fill in the blank after happy in some of the things that we say to each other in life, what would you say? Happy
birthday.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Halloween. Happy
New Year.
Only the young people now. Happy Hanukkah. Happy, you guys have one? I know, but you'll have your turn. Mia, can you give me one? Happy, what's coming up? What holiday's coming up? Happy Christmas. They say that in England, actually. They say instead of Merry Christmas, they say Happy Christmas. So you're right. Yeah. I was thinking of Thanksgiving. Right? Happy Thanksgiving. So we say happy a lot on holidays, but don't you think we should say happy more often than just that? Right? So we're going to be thinking about that. What makes you happy? Well, let's just go there for a minute. Anyone, what makes you happy?
Family?
Music? You have to think about it, don't you? What makes you really happy? Anybody? It's hard, isn't it? It shouldn't be, but it is. It's hard to think. You're like, wait a minute now. I should be able to think of something that makes me happy. You know, some people actually say my work makes me happy. Weekends, yeah, they make you feel happy because you've come to the end of a work week and you have some time, even though you're running around on the weekends too. You're still, you know, not at work and yeah, things like that. It's hard to think about what is makes us happy, but it's a part of our lives as human beings and it's God's intention for us to be happy in our hearts all the time. Now think about that for a moment. Right? That is God's intention for us in our lives. And this psalm that God gives us to us gives us another perspective on this word to be happy that will hopefully help us to be able to see a different view of it, a different perspective of it that will give it a really concrete and deeper understanding of it. So that when we're asked the question, what makes us happy, we'll be able to come up with something that God has given to us. This Psalm 119 is one of my favorite, if not my favorite psalm. It's 176 verses long. Okay. It's a very interesting poem because it's in 22 stanzas. Okay. So there's 22 different stanzas, like a poem or a song. According to the number of letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So there's 22 letters in the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. Does anybody know what the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is? Aleph. Right, good. So we're going to be looking at Aleph today. And the eight verses, there's eight verses in each stanza, two lines each verse, each beginning with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So then the next set of eight verses are going to be based on Beth, which is like for us B, right? And so on, all the way into the end of the Hebrew alphabet, right? So we're going to look at this wonderful psalm that was created that way. Now, why was it created that way? Well, the Jewish people, the Hebrews, enjoyed making the word of God enjoyable and also so that we wouldn't forget, right? So it's a method that we come up with. And I believe that God wants us to look at his word that way. It's creative. We don't change it, but we can certainly use the means that we have to be able to memorize verses. I know the children's ministry are always being given verses to memorize, and there's new methods of memorizing them. They have a song that they sing to recite the Bible books, you know, that I was singing along with this week because I knew that they were starting to use that. They actually had been using it all through the year. But there, you know, we have people in our church who are doing that, and it's to be encouraged so that we can help ourselves to appreciate and to know the Word of God. And to, it's meant to be really enjoyed that way, right? So it's known for its teaching on God's law. This psalm is known for teaching on God's law. But someone wrote that it actually has a beauty that teaches us the absolute devotion of someone to the Lord. It is meant to help us to appreciate and to be more devoted to God, right? And that is the beauty of all of these things. So that even law and talking about all these different things in this psalm having to do with that are teaching us a person's devotion to God and how we can come closer to God. And that's really what this is about today. It has a great power. The psalm is known for its great power in influencing people's lives. And I'll tell you one of those ways. Charles Spurgeon wrote a great book, if you have a chance to ever get a copy of that, written on the Psalms. And in his version of the commentary, he mentions many different real life instances of how people were affected by the Psalms. And he said that there was a man of God who had been sentenced to be hung on the gallows. And this man, for his faith, okay, so they were going to hang him because of his faith in God. And he began to recite the words of Psalm 119, and halfway through the psalm, he was acquitted of his crime and they let him go. Do you believe that? I believe that. There are things when I have been reading the Word of God, the psalm, this psalm in particular, before the service, I try my best to be able to read through all of the psalm, all 176 verses, and without fail, God shows me something that I didn't know and that I wasn't expecting. And that is one of the benefits. Amen? That is one of the benefits of God's word. You get a surprise, some kind of a happy blessing when that comes because God is powerful, because he is this great God, right? How great is our God that he teaches us through his word. And what we need to do is get away from whatever is keeping us back from doing it and get it out and start to read it. It's a very powerful thing. This man was saved. He had no intention of just being saved through it. He wanted to recite God's word. And so he started reciting that before he went to meet his maker. And God said, not yet. You're going to be set free from this sentence, and you won't be hung on that day. And those kind of things happen in our lives. And that's why we get excited about reading the Bible. It's not just a matter of memorizing the verses. It's not just a matter of practicing something and saying, okay, I'm going to do these disciplines. So when we look at this psalm and when we look at the Bible from God, we want to be looking at it in a happy way, right? And looking for something that God is going to say to us that is going to fill our lives with benefit. Nobody can say that they have no benefits in life. No one. Even the poorest person in the world has benefits when they know God. Okay, so we're going to take a look at this and we're going to try to see what this happiness means from Psalm 119. Now, I want to tell you something before I start as to why I chose this scripture today. There's many different scriptures in the daily readings that we're doing. And for Sunday in the lectionary, we have a group of different readings, maybe five today. But something happened last Sunday that caused me, when I looked at the lectionary and I saw the verses and I saw the different scriptures for today, that I chose this one. And the reason that I chose this one is because that verse, happy are those, grabbed me and spoke to me and said, you were not happy last week. And especially here at the church. And I want to say I'm sorry for that. I got up and I was telling people that, you know, we have to react. We have to get out and we have to do service in the community and all these different things. But at the end of that service, I was really, really sad. And I felt really, really like a failure. And I felt bad that I had said those things and God was talking to me about it and I didn't know what to do. And I opened up his word and there was this word of a benefit. Happy are those whose way is blameless. And I said, Lord, help me to feel that way when I speak to the people in church. And not only that, but help us to look at God and the things that he asks us to do in a way that it emanates from us to bring his joy into the world. But like I just said, sometimes I fall short and I feel like I have to say something, but thank God there's grace and forgiveness when we fall short. Right. So I just want to say that to begin, but that was what this whole began with. Okay. But it's coming here. So the word of God today is happy. Okay. Right. And so, last week I was preaching at the other church I told you about. And, one thing that I mentioned on the prayer call this week was that my wife said to me after I said that this person always looks like they don't smile, she said, you could smile more to me, right? and I said, you're right. You know, you're actually right. I'll think more about that because I may be feeling happy or something like that, but I have to show it, you know? And sometimes we get into things and we start talking about things that really have a lot of meaning, but we lose the smile on our faces. And so I was thankful that she told me that and I've been more aware of it and trying to, you know, show that I have a happiness that comes from God when I talk about him. But at the end of the sermon in the other church last week, the person that went up to the front after I was finished said, let's all smile more. That was the thing he took away from the sermon. And I had a lot of things I said, you know, I thought it was really important. In that sermon so that they would hear those important things from God. And what he taught me at the end was people are waiting to hear something that is going to lift their souls and is going to bring them out of this world of woe and of darkness and make them feel like they want to go on. And I learned a big lesson, you know. You want to make sure that you're saying something that is going to help people in their life with God to grow. And that they're going to be ready to go out and say, I'm alive and I have something to say with my life. So that having been said, let's go back to the psalm, okay? Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, if we're going to know anything about Psalm 119, we have to do some homework and we need to be prepared as we go through this. There are 8 different words referring to law that are going to be repeated over and over again in this great psalm. And so you have to do some homework. You have in life, you can be happy, you can be joyful, but that doesn't mean that it comes just like that. God has made us with the ability to learn and to learn things well. Okay? That's great advice from God for your schoolwork. Oh, do I have to do this again? You know, I mean, that was me all through elementary school, all the way through high school until college. I finally got it in college, how important it was to study and how much I was learning, how much I gained, you know, but we have this attitude of, oh, I got to do this. We want to get rid of that when we look at the Bible and say, what am I going to find here? Right? Happy are those whose way in life, your walk is blameless. Right? It's holy. It's one that God is happy with who walk in the law of the Lord. So that is the first term that we meet here, the law of the Lord. Okay. Let me give you a list. We're not going to do this today, but I just want to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Some other ones that are listed here and then we're going to face in this, beginnings of the psalm, and then later on you'll see the other ones. The law, the word, the laws, plural, statutes, commands, decrees, precepts, word, or promise. Okay? So we're not going to go and define all of these things right now, but you have to read this psalm and be prepared that you're going to see those words over and over again as you read them. And they all have a meaning, but they don't have any meaning unless we see them coming from a God who loves us and desires for us to know him. Okay, so these are all different words that refer to the word of God, to the law of God. Okay, and that is what we're talking about here. So happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So to me, this word happiness that we're used to putting together with festivities, happy birthdays and happy celebrations of eating and being thankful, and all those different things, that's all good. But he's saying here, hear me out. You're happy if your way is blameless and you're walking with the Lord. And this causes us to meditate on that. Okay, what does that mean? Happiness? Happiness must be much more than just an emotion. It's something that goes into our souls. It's God. God has made us in this image. Calvin was talking to the youth last week in the high school class after worship, going on through that and saying, we are made in the image of God, right? And we have relationship with him. And we have relationship with one another, and it's a personal relationship. And so who are we? So what I want to do is I want to ask you to do something right away. Close your eyes for a moment and think of someone that you're close to. And think about that person and what they mean to you. Just take a moment. Think about a person who, the first person really that you think of, who you care for, means something to you, and think about that person. How do you know them? What do they mean to you? Take a few seconds to do that. Okay, so you can do that all the time. You know, we go through at such a pace in the world that we don't take enough time to appreciate the people in our lives. Either people that you had in your life at one time or the people now. But I think that that is tied in with what the message is from God today, that he wants us to understand that life is not meant to be just busy. It's meant to take the hands of your loved one, to look at them and to say, you know, I've been thinking about you, not like what you can do or what you can achieve, but just you. You are spectacular. You are the love of my life. You are my precious one. And I'm so glad that God has put you in my life. If we can do that as God's body, then we're on the right walk. We're on the right way. The law of the Lord is all with that intention. What's one of the laws that we get from the Lord? Love the Lord your God. Does that sound like something that is legal? And love your neighbor as yourself. Walking in the ways of the Lord, in the law of the Lord. Happy, the next one, happy are those who keep his decrees. Here's one of those words, decrees, right? Sometimes it's funny. Some of the versions of the Bible have another word that that seems to be the same thing. It's statutes, decrees and statutes. All these words to me sound almost like, and when I hear the word statute, I think of statue. It's like stiff and weird. And but when it's connected with God, it's something great. His statutes, right? the things that he decrees, the things that he proclaims. What does he proclaim? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It could also be, don't look at things that are worthless. Dirty things. Don't look at dirty things. They're a waste of time. Look at the things that are so beautiful. That's a statute. That's a decree. Those are things that God is saying. It's for you, this life of good and happiness. Search out those things, everyone. And then what it comes after that, who seek him with their whole heart. Happy are those who keep his decrees, that believe it when he says this is better for you than the other things that you're doing, and you seek him with your whole heart. That's what I'm talking about with the same thing with our relationships like that. Grabbing someone's hands, your loved ones, and saying, or not just your loved ones, your brothers and sisters here, and saying, you are so important in my life. I haven't really thought about it because, you know, we see each other for a split second on Sunday and we have a million things to do and we have places to go. But, you know, now it's different because I'm going to make time for you. Do you make will you make time for me? Can I just say that to you? And the people will be like, are you crazy? You know, get away from me. You know, have you been drinking? And you're like, no, I've been reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is teaching me this. And he's saying to me, you have to start practicing the decrees that I have given to you in my word. And I want you to walk in this way. And I want you to be seeking the Lord with all of your heart. What does that mean? Think about that. What does it mean to love something with your whole heart? When I was growing up, my mother and I, you know, had times of difference and everything like that. But you know, this one time my mother, I'll just follow the Holy Spirit. My mother was very, very upset and she left the house. And I was beside myself because I thought she was leaving us. And I ran after her and she was walking up the street. I remember it was a rainy day and I remember the street she was walking up and she was like, get away from me. Get away from me. I need to be alone. Get away. And I was like, please, please don't leave me. Cause I loved her. I loved her with my whole heart. You know, but she came back. She needed space. You know, she was upset. She wanted the, she had, the poor woman, you know, she had six kids and she was always running around for us and cooking and doing everything and so many things that mothers do. And she needed some time away. And she probably, the last thing she probably needed is for me to go up and grab onto her skirt and say, come back. But it just, you know, those kind of things of what I think that are found in here in the whole heart. How do we love God with our whole heart? Begin by telling him, God, I love you with my whole heart. You don't have to make up some other kind of way to express that. You can just say it. I love you with my whole heart. You are so important to me. And I love the fact that you're telling me to do things in a certain way in life because I know you've got my back. I know you want the best for me. I know you're teaching me the things that I need to survive in life that are life-giving and for me to be happy. Right? I want to share with you, if you can get a copy of this book, it's called The Pursuit of God. The Pursuit of God. It's by Tozer, A.W. Tozer. And it's known as one of the great books, you know, that exists that was written by a Christian. And I went back to this yesterday. Another way God spoke to me, I was sitting in my office and I looked up. I was thinking about something and I found this book on the shelf just by looking at it. And I believe the Holy Spirit was leading me to this book so I could talk to you about it today. And that's the way God works. There's like a lot of books on my shelf, but I was drawn to this one, and I think there's a reason for it. He starts off in chapter one, in the pursuit of God, it says, following hard after God, my soul, followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. My soul follows hard after you. Your right hand holds me up. Psalms 63:8. And he goes on to say that God is actually the one who pursues us. He is, there's a word that they refer to as he's previous. It's his pursuit that is previous to our pursuing him. It means that he is always pursuing us. So we should not think that it's our pursuit that's the most important. It begins with him. That's a great word, right? That God is pursuing you because he loves you. And if you just try to shy away from him and stuff like this, he doesn't stop. Do you ever have somebody tickle you and you start to get away from them and you're going, stop that. And they don't, you know, they just keep doing it and you're like, you can't get away. Well, in a way, this is the way God gets at us. He loves us. He wants us to feel joy. He wants us to feel love. There was a missionary at our church, Herb Kassler, a missionary in Africa many years. He came to our church and I remember his grip of love on me when I was a little kid. He would take me and he would shake my hand and he'd start to squeeze it. And I was like, oh, you know, and he enjoyed it. You know, but he didn't go too far. What he was doing is that he was taking my young life and saying, you're important to me, John. And I love you. And that's why I'm doing this, because I love you. And that's what people do. They do weird things when they love each other, but I couldn't get away from it. And I still remember him today. He's long gone. He's in heaven, but I still remember the grip of love that caused me to feel, oh, that was so painful, but man, keep it going, all right? Because just, I need love. I need to be loved. And that's what we need to do. We need to get out of ourselves and start to take chances to show people in some way, shape, or form, and also to recognize when we are loved that it is the love that is sustaining us and that is making who we are. And that's God at work in us. Let me read you a couple of things here. I was tempted to like read the whole chapter, but we have a time limit. So this is some of the things he says, okay? The moment the Spirit has quickened us to life and regeneration, when we're born again, our whole being senses its kinship to God and leaps up in joyous recognition. Right? However, that is not an end. When we're born again, it's not an end at that moment. It's an inception. For now begins the glorious pursuit, the heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of the Godhead. That is where we begin, I say, but where we stop, no man has yet discovered, for there is in the awful and mysterious depths of the triune God, neither limit nor end. Right? And so he's saying the moment we have that joy, that feeling we are born again as a Christian and we've been saved, it's only the beginning. It's this joy-filled thing, but it's an inception into the life of God. And he's going to go on with this. I'll tell you a couple more things that he says, and then we'll go back. To have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. Scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionist, but justified in happy experience by the children of the burning heart. We are children of the burning heart, the burning, passionate, love, happy heart that is belonging to God. I belong to God. I have a heart that is burning with passion in me because I have tasted salvation and he showed me he loves me and he died on a painful death. And now I believe it, I received it, and now my pursuit of him is going to begin, and it's filled with happiness. The Listen to this. He says, everything is made in today. Everything seems to be made to center upon the initial act of accepting Christ, a term, incidentally, which is not found in the Bible. I've accepted Christ. He said the term doesn't really even, you can't find it in the Bible. Christ, and we are not expected thereafter to crave any further revelation of God to our souls. We have been snared in the coils of a spurious logic which insists that if we have found him, we need no more seek him. That is a prophecy, and that is a pronouncement on a society that he was living in. And it's of the church as well. We have found him, therefore we do not need to continue in our lives to seek him. I've done it. I've found him. Now I can live as I will. That is a word for us today as well, right? We cannot live under this idea that please accept Christ. Good, you did. See you later. Right? Maybe down the line. No, you come up and you grab the hand of the person and you squeeze it and you say, I am responsible that you will continue in your life to pursue God. And he is immeasurable in the happiness and the joy that he is going to provide to you when you do it. Amen?
Amen.
Crazy. So wonderful that he said this. Listen to this. Many ordinary treasures may be denied him. Wait, the man who has God for his treasure has all things in the one God. Many ordinary treasures may be denied him, or if he is allowed to have them, the enjoyment of them will be so tempered that they will never be necessary to his happiness. What he's talking about here is that as we grow in pursuit of God, the things that we find pleasure in, the happy things, the things that give us joy now, slowly will lose their appeal because God's treasure being ours is so much better. Does that mean that we have to stop having happy birthday and happy Thanksgiving? No, it's not talking about that. What he's saying is that the things that we have in a limited way that are treasures for us here are going to be pale when compared to the colors, the brightness, the joy, the things that God has to offer us. What does that mean? When I first met my wife, we were starting off in our relationship, and she was telling me about her life in Taiwan and talking about how, you know, she was with these Christians and that they went out and sang, and they, you know, and she really was committed to that whole thing. But we were just starting off our careers in music, and so I felt threatened by that. Right? You have an idea in your mind of what you're going to do. And then the idea that God may have something else in mind for you becomes an obstacle. But the ignorance that I possessed at that time is being brought out by this man here in this book, that the things that God has for us are so much greater. Pursue him. Pursue him. Right? Pursue God. Try it out. See what happens when you read the book, when you read this psalm and you start to go through it, right? We go back to this psalm. It says, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Remember, there's another one, command. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast, fixed, faithful, doing it and keeping your statutes. Oh, can you think of that for a moment? Say that. Oh, God, I've been reading this. And what I really want now is to be able to do it. Because I see now that a way in you is going to bring me a deeper happiness in my life that I don't have. Deeper. So when I originally came in today, I was thinking about talking about happy and trying to keep everybody happy and, you know, and make up for my foolishness last week and everything like that. And what does God do? He goes, wait a minute. Okay, I gave you the word happy, but it doesn't mean exactly that. It doesn't mean that you just try to get everybody to be happier again or to forget about what you did. It means a deeper relationship with me. And that comes with a price. And so that's a great way to think about happiness. It comes with a price. The things that are valuable in life do, don't they? Amen? The things that are valuable come with a price. But all too often we're living in a society that wants just free. I don't want any pain. I don't want to have to do that. That's why relationships, you know, fall apart. I don't want to put my time into, you know what I'm saying? I want something that is going to be easy, man. If you can tell me how to be happy easily, then do it. Okay, I'll give you a bottle of vodka and you can drink that and you will be happy for one day. You're having a hard time at home with your parents getting along. Okay, you can go off and do what you want. And you can be happy for a time. But the way that we're built, see, the way that God has given us a life is that we have a mind and a heart and a conscience that God gives us so that we will feel that we need to be one with our family again. The prodigal son. A life of Christ, in Christ. Leaving a life that we ran away from God in and saying, I'm going back to him because I know that that's where I should be. And I may try to run and I may try to put it off, but one day I'm going to have to realize that I have a God who has given me my life and I am in a relationship with him, whether it's bad or good, I'm in a relationship with him and I need to face that. It's the same thing in relationships with other people though. We may have in our mind, I'm not going to talk to that person again. I don't want to forgive that person because they hurt me so badly and I'll never have anything to do with them. But if we really understand what God is teaching in this psalm, then we will be searching him and seeking him and pursuing him so that our life and those things in our life that are causing us to be at odds with the world and with other people are going to bring us back into the way of God and following his decrees. Go to your sister, go to your brother, go to your mother, go to your father, be one with them, and then you will understand what true happiness is. Happiness comes from being one with God. Happiness comes with being forgiving and loving and showing people that you've understood the word of God as being all important because it's connected to him, right? We can't live on like this, but that's why this world is the way it is. And God offers us himself and says, I'm here. I'm pursuing you, not so I can say, do this, but if you do this, you're going to be so happy. Right? Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on your commandments. Here's another one, commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart. I have done what you said. I have gone to that person. I have made a reconciliation with that person. I have started to stop. I stopped stealing. I stopped drinking. I stopped all these things that are getting in my way, that are causing me to be separated from you. And I'm back on that road and I'll praise you with an upright heart because God, you're proud of me. I am listening to you and I want to keep doing it. When I learn your righteous decrees, I'll praise you when I learn your righteous ordinances. I'll observe your statutes. Don't utterly forsake me. I know I'm going to make mistakes. I know I'm going to do wrong, but help me. Last night, I was praying and I was reading Psalm 145. I've been trying to memorize this entire psalm for a long time. I think I mentioned that to you. One of the reasons that I wanted to do it is because I heard how important it was to the Jewish people that they say it at least twice a day, or at least at that time. They said this psalm twice a day, and I thought, well, if that is so important, then it must be important enough for me to start doing. And I can't say that I've done it successfully. I haven't been doing it like they did, but I do keep coming back to it. And something happened last night that I want to share with you that I hope will help you. If you're given something to memorize, like a verse or something at school, I can remember formulas that I had trouble memorizing in science, right? What is one of the things that gets in your way from memorizing them? Can anybody offer, like, what is one of the things that keeps us from being able to memorize something?
An unneeded sound.
Okay. So the logic of it? For me, what I realized last night and what God was teaching me in reading that psalm and trying, and I did make progress, it was this. I'm not getting off my knees until I am satisfied that I have tried my best to memorize that. And for me personally, it's what the Germans call an unruhiges Hart, an unrestful heart. I got other things to do. I have other places to go. I have other people to see. I got somebody on my phone pinging me. I got people from work reaching out to me. I have other books that I want to read. There's a game up on the, there's a baseball game on the TV. When I'm honest with myself, those are the things that get in my way, and that's what got in my way as a student. I got so many things to do around me. I'm going to give this much of myself to learning that. And last night, I took a breath. And I felt the Holy Spirit, I'm saying that because it's true. I felt God saying to me, you need this more than anything. You've been learning this psalm for how long? It's not that hard. But there's another element that came in as well. What I felt God saying to me was, you need me more than anything. When we think about it, and the time that God is asking for us to do these kinds of spend with him, isn't there a loving God behind that? He's saying, I want to spend time with you. You've been spending time with your family. You've been spending time with your friends. You've been spending time with your church. You've been spending time with your work. You've been spending time with everything. Now it's my time. Do you love me with all your heart? Right? And that's really what I felt God was saying to me yesterday when I was doing that. And now I feel happy. You know why I didn't feel happy? Because I wasn't giving God enough time. And you know why I wasn't feeling happy? Because I kept stumbling over the same verse and not being able to memorize it. But once I breathed in the breath of God and gave my will to him, it came. And the words started to form in me, not just the words to the verses to memorize. I saw God. I saw God. I saw him. I heard him. And that's exactly what this psalm is doing. It's unrelentingly teaching us the importance of God. And therein is the life lesson of happiness. So wherever you are today, James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the happiness that you give to us that can be found nowhere else. That you are a happy God and you are a God who cares deeply about us. We pray, Father, that you help us in our church, especially me as a pastor, Lord, to find time with you and to know that I am going to be much better off for everyone else when I do that. And that all of us, Lord, as we begin this way, this road now, to say, this is your time, Lord, because I want to be happy in you. That we will be able to see great things happening in the kingdom of God and also in the world as they see who we are and what you are to us and who you are to us. And so that the presence of Almighty God and the fact that we are so in love with you will be appealing to those who don't have any love and that don't understand what love is. And that when we have the chance to share it, it'll be coming from that place where you've spoken to us and in our walk with you. Thank you, Lord. Please bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.